You'd all take your seats.
Thank you, Bill.
Just to one thing, more thing I want to share about the Relay for Life next weekend. What we are pretty much there to do, not to proselytize, but to make friends and to be there for support. Within that tent, within the Borelli tent, a few of us are going to bring some guitars and things like that, and we're just going to do impromptu acoustic worship, and we're going to have people there to pray, and we were given permission to give out on a table that book, Healed of Cancer. So we're not going to be chasing anybody down. We're not putting anyone in an uncomfortable spot. But if somebody comes to us, Lord opens the door for us, we are going to step in it faithfully. Amen. And we're going to pray. We're going to be there mainly to pray and encourage and edify and build and worship. That's our plan. So if that, any of that excites you, please join us Wednesday night at our house at 6:30 for a little bit of prayer training, how to pray for people. It's not as easy as you think sometimes. And then just come and have a good time, even if you're only there for a half hour. So, but again, register in the back, please. We have to turn in registration with your email. And I think we also need shirt sizes. Is that correct? Or is that no? All right, forget shirt sizes, just email. You can put it just in case. Right now, let's give God glory for His Word. If you'd raise your Bibles with me. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank You that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in Your righteousness. Amen. Amen. Last week, we started a series entitled Heritage to Legacy, and we talked about establishing a heritage and what that is. Heritage is what we establish now that gets passed on for the future. Amen. And you know, I don't want to rehash next week's message, but last week's message, but when we left here, something came to me. My wife reminded me of something with Josh, the young redheaded boy who's in the back. That boy is here because of the heritage of his uncle. His uncle, who used to be a member of our church before he went home to be with the Lord, started bringing him to church at like 2 years old. Anytime there was a church service that his mom and dad would let him come with his uncle, he was in church. Men's activities. He was there. His uncle would teach him to pray, would read Bible with him, to the point where got back to me that he would stand up on the chair sometimes with a book and pretend he's me preaching to his family. His uncle passed away, and you know what? That boy had no one else in his family to bring him to church. But he kept asking, and he kept asking, and finally his grandmother called me. And that boy wants to be at every single church activity, every function, everything. He's even there for prayer in the morning. Amen. And you know what? That heritage that his uncle established, it's the legacy that uncle left behind in that boy. And that heritage, I'm going to embarrass somebody, is being maintained by Helen in the back, who's kind of taken him under her wing in many ways. So she's establishing that, has established that and continuing that in that boy that's lifelong, and that boy is anointed. That's the heritage that was established for him. And as we shared last week, no matter where you are, do not be discouraged in what's been established in the past, because today is a new day. Today is a fresh start. What you begin now in the power and the glory and the name and the word of Jesus Christ can be everlasting from generation to generation. We establish a new heritage today. And with that heritage that we establish today, we begin to accumulate what we leave behind as an inheritance. See, God Spirit lays that spiritual foundation in our lives that we call a heritage. That heritage then is passed on in an inheritance. and that inheritance turns into the legacy we leave behind. And today we're talking about inheritance. And it begins with that heritage that we've established, that we've talked about, founded in love and established in the Spirit of God. But today, inheritance, acquiring the inheritance. We've laid the foundation. The heritage is there. Now it's time to claim it. Now it's time to embrace it, to live in it, to receive it. I want to read you something Tommy actually shared with me this week. Many of you know the name Ron Hutchcraft. He used to, you know, on the radio just give little two-minute Bible blurbs. And this is called Tomorrow's Generation. I'm going to read this to you, and I think it's on the screen as well. As each of our kids has fallen in love, this is Ron Hutchcraft speaking, we've given them what sounded like a strange piece of advice. Make sure you make a good 200-year decision or choice. Your choice in a mate will have impact for a long, long time, along with a lot of other family choices. When you're deciding who you're going to marry, you're actually deciding who's going to shape your children, who will, in turn, shape their children with what they have got from you and your spouse, and on and on. It's that downstream effect of our family choices that God spells out graphically in Exodus 25-6. And you can read that on your own. Right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, God says, I am the Lord your God, punishing the children for the sins of their father to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. The consequences of families' unrighteous choices will be marking at least 4 generations. The blessings of a family's righteous choices will be marking countless generations. Now, what a heritage. The issue for us is what kind of heritage we are starting in motion right now through our choices today. Those marks, for better or for worse, will be there long after we're gone. The generation marking phenomenon is dramatically illustrated in the study of the descendants of 2 American families. Family 1, which for the obvious reasons will remain nameless, is traced back to a criminal ancestor. Out of 1,200 of his descendants, 400 wrecked themselves physically through drugs, drinking, or sexual abuse, diseases. 310 were beggars, 130 were convicted criminals, 60 of them were thieves, 7 were murderers, and 20 learned a trade in prison. A similar study was done on the family of Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher and early president of Princeton. From him, this is when Princeton was actually a Christian school, from him came 100 college professors, 100 ministers, 100 lawyers and judges, 60 doctors, 24 authors and editors, and 14 college presidents. Legacy, the powerful result of one generation's family choices. It makes the choice of who you date and who you marry so critical. And he goes on, but this is legacy effect is something we have to remember in many of the choices we make. That the weakness, that sin that keeps flaring up and hurting the people we love, if you and Jesus don't get it under control, will be hurting generations that follow. If you settle for a lukewarm faith, that pale substitute for a real relationship with Jesus, that will be what you pass on. If your priorities, how you spend your time, money, your energy, if they're on stuff that doesn't last, doesn't really matter, then those dead-end streets may be where the future generations waste their lives to. You probably have no idea of the long-ranging impact of your life, the 200-year and beyond effect of the choices you're making now. Claim for yourself the promise of what God says, that this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children, or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forever. This is the power of heritage and accepting that inheritance to continue in those things. So acquiring, so as we talk about passing down our heritage in an inheritance, acquiring it. Well, number one, we have to acquire it only through Christ. Numbers 27, 6 through 7 says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brother and cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. This story, this little passage, midst of a story as Moses was passing things out and every tribe was receiving what its own. But usually goes to the male head. But there was no male head. But the daughter said, wait a minute. We are our father's children. We are his heritage. Therefore, our inheritance is ours. For our family is ours. Let it be passed down for them. And the Lord told Moses, they're claiming it. They want it. They desire it. Give it to them. What they speak is right. So, looking back at your life, looking back at what was laid for you or what you might be laying down now for someone, give them that passion or establish that passion. Determine in your life. You want it. The good that, if you want to trace your heritage back to Jesus Christ, do so. But what they have, desire that inheritance that's promised to us in the Word of God. For the kingdom of God is at hand. We enter His kingdom now. We walk in His kingdom now. We live in the Spirit that guides us through His kingdom now. We move in the power of the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit and the fruit of His Spirit now. They're there now. His kingdom is at hand. That's our inheritance. There are blessings to come when we attain His kingdom in heaven. When this life that we live passes on, but we walk in everything, every spiritual blessing under heaven in Christ Jesus is for us right now. It's there. So we have to want it, not be blasé about it or lackadaisical about it. Claim it. Lord, I press into you. I want this for me. I want to establish this for my family right now, right here, today. I want it now. I want to walk in it. I want to live in it. I want to breathe in it. I want your word be what guides and establishes my family, and I want to pass on the way to establish my sons and daughters and their families' families. We want our inheritance now so we can pass it on. God pours in so we can pour out. I want it now, Lord. We talked about the heritage of this church. Well, the inheritance of this church is to equip the body for the work of the kingdom. It's there for us. Everything we need, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the presence of God as evidenced this morning, the heart of the believers to seek the heart of God. It's there. We've got to want it. We've got to passionately claim it. This is our inheritance. Lord, you have given it to us. I'm not letting go till you give it to me. Think of Jacob holding on to the Lord when he wrestled with a busted hip. I'm not letting go till I get what I want, what I deserve, what's there for me, what you've already established for me. Titus 3:7, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's that knowledge. We have that inheritance that of grace that we walk in. We're justified by grace. Does not mean we have license to sin. It means we have the privilege and honor and humble blessing of going before the Lord and repenting. Changing our mind, getting into right standing with God, otherwise known as righteousness. We have that blessing. That's one of our inheritance that we receive and we pass on. And you know what comes directly against that? Failure. the attitude that we are not good enough when we fail or when we mess up. You know what? God does not care about your failures. He cares about your willingness to succeed in His power. Someone said to me yesterday, I want to prove myself to God. Guess what? You don't need to prove yourself to God because already God knows what you can do. He already knows your potential. He knows everything that's already in you. He knows what He has for you to achieve. So you don't have to prove anything to God. You just have to move in the power of God. That's it. There's nothing to prove. God knows you are a success when you choose to embrace that inheritance, embrace Him, embrace what He's doing, and move in it. That success is already established. The devil wants to say, you messed up, you failed, you're full of shame, you're not good enough, you can't. Get away from that nonsense. Because God already knows that you are a success. Everything you need is within you. Everything is available to us to succeed. God created us, and I heard Jimmy Evans say this regarding couples. God intends every marriage to succeed. He does not marriage for failure. God intends every Christian to succeed. Acts 20:32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. His word. Who's the word? Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, but the Word was with God. He can build you up so that you will attain the inheritance just like everybody else who is sanctified by Him. And there's plenty to go around. There's plenty to go around. There can be 25 Bayshore Christian Fellowship churches in this area and still be in need for people to come to the saving knowledge of Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and be empowered and equipped to walk in the victory of Christ. Let His word, we're commended to God and to the word of His grace for this inheritance. Our name is written on that will, so to speak. Inheritance is ours. We are built up in His word. Colossians 1:12 says this, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. You've been qualified. You've been qualified to share in the things of God. The only test you have to pass is open up your heart and receive Jesus Christ. And then let Him show you how to keep your heart open to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And walk in that power. You've been qualified. How has He qualified you? Well, let's look at Colossians 1:10-14. It says this. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. How? Being fruitful in every good work and in increasing in the knowledge of God. You're doing the good work of Christ as you are increasing in the knowledge of God in your life. And that knowledge, not a passive term, it's an active verb. It means growing. You're using that knowledge. You're gaining to give. You're learning to use. It's not book knowledge. Ooh, this was a nice story. Let me close the book. It's an active knowledge put to work because you're being fruitful in it. Producing the fruit of the kingdom. Strengthened with all might. Whose might? His might. According to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. We are being given everything. Just wait out your time. The inheritance is yours. Press into it. Fight through it. Believe in it. It's there for you no matter what is going on in your circumstance or life. God's heart never changes. The inheritance is still waiting for you. It's still waiting for you. I don't care if you're having a bad day or a good day. I don't care if you feel beaten down or high as a kite. God's inheritance is still waiting for you. It's still there. Everything you need is still there. You've been given, and I've been given, every opportunity to succeed. But even more than that, we have a God who believes in our success to attain the inheritance, his promises. And that's what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about getting to heaven as an inheritance. But the fact is that the work that we do is blessed, is anointed. One of the things I learned recently in the last couple of months, an anointing doesn't make the hard work easier. It blesses your hard work and makes it fruitful. You still have to do the hard work. The inheritance is still there. But I have to do the hard work to accept it and walk in it and use it in his anointing. Then I am fruitful and I am effective and I am impactful. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has again qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It begins with Christ. I know there was a second point to inheritance, but I'm going to stop in a couple of minutes with this point. And we'll continue the second point next time. But it begins with Christ and his blood and what he has done. Remember, when we think of Christ, most people think of just the cross. But it was the same Christ that breathed on his disciples and gave them the Spirit of God. It was the same Christ that gave us his Spirit, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. It's the same Christ that we are called co-heirs with in the heavenly kingdom. It is the same Christ whose might that we walk in and power we walk in. It is the same Christ whose Spirit was able to raise the dead, cast out demons, heal the sick, free the captives, and so on. And that same Christ gave that to us in our inheritance in the power of his word. It's the same Christ that sits at the right hand of God and the same Christ that made a way for us to enter the presence of God at any moment we choose to. Humble heart and a contrite spirit, God is well pleased. That's his word. That's part of our inheritance. All this is available to us right now. Today, it is Christ who does this. It begins with salvation, but it doesn't end there. It continues with walking in the power of the Holy Spirit that Christ has given us. And walking in the power, the inheritance that's been given to us. Knowing who we are in his word. All these things are there for us. And guess what? When we do that, it goes right back to heritage. We're establishing or adding on to the godly heritage that has been established. Or maybe establishing something new for the first time. This is where we need to begin, but it's not where we need to end. We continue to do that. Right now, won't you just bow your heads for a second. I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Yes, Lord. Minister to us, Holy Spirit, speak to us right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Show us some things. Yes, God. Yes, God, show us some things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And what I'm going to ask everyone to do is just get with a person around them or a couple of people around them. And whatever the Holy Spirit has shown you, as you feel comfortable, I encourage you to not be afraid. I want you to share it with your little group of 2, 3, 4, whatever it might be. And I want you to pray for one another. God, Holy Spirit may have given you something for the person next to you right now. Share it with them. Use the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He has given us, that dwell within us. Pray in faith. Use the gift of faith, if that is you. If you have the gift of prophetic word, or God is using you that way, use it. A word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Use it for one another. At the very least, just encourage and lift up one another. So Father, I'll pray and I bless each one right now. I encourage them, Lord God, in your presence, that as they get up and do what they're about to do, Father, that you would speak through them. I bless them with your anointing to minister to one another. I bless them with your power to encourage and to lift, that there is your strength behind everything that is done because you are leading them to do it. Thank you, Lord. Some of you may at some point be felt led by the Holy Spirit to move from your little group to speak or encourage someone specifically. Don't be afraid to do that as well. But right now, if you would just all rise with me, and just as you continue to stay in a state of prayer, just get together with two or three people and just pray. Just lift up one another. Just lift up one another. Specifically include it. Receive your inheritance. And I'm going to be praying over you. Mm-hmm.